Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Oh, the other thing I was going to say, sorry, just before we go, this podcast, I think, if I've got my diary right, won't go out until New Year's Day.
Which means it'll be in the future.
So you're all in the future.
Yeah.
So if you could all pretend you're hungover and didn't have as good a night as you'd hoped the evening before, that would be tremendous, because it's New Year's Day where we are now. So if we say Happy New Year at any point, we've not lost our minds.
I'm Johnny Smith.
I'm Richard Porter.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars and many other things live at Stellantis.
Well then, we're back at Stellantis.
We're loving it.
And
I've got no shoes and I smell of brute.
You've got no shoes on.
Oh, and I'm wearing a bum bag. I forgot to give this away.
Oh, that's all right. We can just give it away. So we're going to do a Q&A and we can give away
the
things
most interesting
off the stage that we've brought along for interesting questions, maybe.
Yeah. So ask us anything, as the YouTubers would say.
Who's got a question?
Straight up.
Gentleman down the front here.
With the Reebok tracksuit.
Yes, a superb tracksuit, a superb Pet Shop Boys t-shirt. This is going to be a good question, I can feel it.
Is it working? Hello. I am kind of worried though, because this might get cut out, but a while back I sent you a message on Patreon about this story of Dr. Jonathan Palmer leaving a toilet at Donington Park with a bit of toilet roll stuck to his shoe. And basically, Richard, your response... It amassed some intrigue in me, because there's obviously some further stories, and we know some people here probably listening know that you have a bit of a disdain towards Mr. Palmer, Dr.
Where did
Palmer.
You get that from?
Oh, it was just something
I think lots of people are pricks. I mean, it's not just... I'm not saying he's one of them.
Well, I guess you're probably thinking I am, because this will probably get cut, but the...
No, it'll only get cut if I tell you what I think of Jonathan Palmer.
Okay, fair enough.
But and for that reason, I'm not going to tell you what I think of Jonathan Palmer.
Richard, what do you think of Jonathan Palmer?
That wasn't going to be my question, by the way. But my question was going to be, it's not even a question, really. Are there any stories that you could either clean up and tell us about why you have this disdain to Dr. Palmer?
No.
Thank you.
Well, look,
come and see me in the pub.
I'm going to change the subject really quickly.
The fee is 2 pints.
I'm going to say 2 things. You, thank you very much for giving me a Miami Vice CD, which is absolutely immaculate. Lovely. And secondly, why don't we talk about Robert Palmer instead?
Oh, now I like him.
Yeah.
No. I went to... did I tell you about this? I think I mentioned it on social media.
You haven't met him?
No, God no. I'd love that.
He sang I'll Be Your Baby Tonight, though. It's a bit shit, that song.
Yeah.
It is very bad.
But he did Addicted to Love as well, didn't he? Which is good. Who's the suavest person you ever met?
God, that's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah. We can come back to it.
Yeah, can we?
Okay.
Yeah, I've met some silky people.
I might tell you some Jonathan Palmer stories later, but certainly not while we're recording. has anyone else got a question that's not going to get me into legal trouble? Annie,
well,
you go free reign and choose someone, because we're up here and we can't see.
Good evening.
Hello.
An automotive hero for either of you, be it engineer, designer... Someone associated with cars, dead or alive, who you haven't met.
Ooh.
Who would it be, and what would you ask them?
Ooh. Oh, God.
Serious or silly?
Well, off the top of my head, I thought about Michel Mouton the other morning.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
No,
don't cheapen it.
Let's not make it smutty. There's several reasons, and. One of them is obviously that Audi rally car, the Quattro rally car, being legendary. But her conquering all at a time when she did, and still 40-something years later, there's not enough women in dominant motorsport.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never met her. I'd love to meet her. Mm. If I did speak to her, I'd probably ask her how difficult it was doing what she did in a male-dominated environment all those years ago.
Back then.
And probably bossing it, frankly.
Yeah. Mm.
Nice.
Yeah. She was also hot as well. current tense.
There's that Audi versus Lancia film coming out. Has anyone seen the trailer for this?
I have seen it. Sorry,
where did they get that idea from? Certainly wasn't the fucking film we made on the Grand Tour about it 3 years ago.
No, nothing to do with it, was it?
Anyway.
You're not bitter about that, are you?
No, I'm not, but the guy who directed it was a bit like, what the... Anyway, because he put a lot of work into that. I thought it was quite a good film, that. Anyway, I'm sure the movie's going to be great. It's just I saw the trailer and it seems to be... The dialogue seems to be a little from the draw-marked movie dialogue rather than the way that people
generic film.
Speak normally. Do you think you can win this rally? Sure I can. Cut to the outer
But I'm going
to
need a
You're going up there in this four-wheel drive quattro? Are you crazy? Sure I'm crazy. That's what makes me good. They don't say any of this in the film. I'm just imagining they might because the dialogue looks
bloody
awful.
Sounds like a chat between two salesmen at a services where they've just got their new company cars.
One's your quattro's writing checks your buddy can't cash. I can't remember. Someone is playing Michel Mouton in that movie and I can't remember who it is.
Well, I'll be watching the film, rest assured.
I would. I'd always wanted to meet Harris Mann, the car designer who styled the Allegro and the Princess and the TR7, and did lots of other work. He sort of saved the Metro because it was a bit boxy and unpleasant, and it failed all its customer clinics. And he made it look nice.
Yeah,
it's part of the team that did that. And I think he was much maligned because the Allegro was a bit of a whipping boy, but the Princess, if it had come out of Pininfarina, or Ital or someone like that, it would be rightly fated as a brilliant piece of design.
Yeah,
and I would like to ask Harris Mann if he ever got really sick of people just going, do the Allegro. I mean, within the industry, I gather he was very well respected because he was excellent. In fact, someone told me about this brilliant thing where he was a lecturer at Coventry Car Design School. Some people here might know that. And he was brilliant. He sort of taught himself in his later career as a clay model. That wasn't what he did. He was a designer, so he was sketching. But he learned how to clay model as well, so he could really get in on the surfaces of the car and do it himself. And then he used to help students sort out their problems when they were doing little scale models of their projects and they were having trouble with surfacing. He would come in and he would sort it out. And apparently he was just a genius. And he did it to this one student. They went, I can't, this just doesn't look right. And Harris Mann came in and just went, yeah, is that better? And the guy was like,
wizardry.
So good. And as he walked off, this student turned to a guy I know who was also on that course and just went, Harris Mann, man. And that, to me, is... I've always thought that since. I only found this out, a few months ago, whenever Harris Mann died, that I'd heard this story. But since then, I was like, Harris Mann, man. He was fucking great. And I won't have a word said against him, and I wish I could have met him and just asked him what it was like being associated with one duff project that he got stitched up over.
Yeah. And I actually wanted to finish my car and let him have a go in it, and that's never going to happen. So, hey-ho.
Do we have another question?
Loads there, loads, yes. Loads.
Rich picking.
I've already got
this.
The microphone.
Oh. Uh-oh. This guy's nicking everything.
It was an excellent New Year's Eve. I woke up with another guy's shoes on,
Yeah, amazing. Spot on.
No, we did the New Year's Eve thing before we started recording. We're going to have to explain it now. You've really boxed us into putting this out on the first, you bastard.
That time, you bought me a whole line of WKD blues with the straws already in.
Oh, man, what a night it was. Last night that was New Year's Eve.
Yes, it was.
If you're listening to this at home, and definitely not
December. Yes, I'm hungover.
But no, I do have a question. So for a number of weeks, both you guys and Alex Kirsten claim to be the UK's number one automotive podcast.
Yes.
Do we need an Anchorman-style fight out just to decide?
Yeah. I think we do.
Yeah.
Not the face. Leave the mothers out of it. No, it's. I mean, it's fine. Alex's podcast, is doing really, really well. It's just a shame they're not number one. Because they're not. Because Alex doesn't understand how the charts work.
Apparently,
I don't understand either.
But I've Johnny got him either. To back me up, so I just push him in. And...
We got the receipts. Because the overall show chart, sorry if I'm boring you, but the overall show chart is dynamic and it reflects growth as well. So if you start, as Alex's show has, which is very good, by the way, but it started quite recently. So, of course, its audience growth is huge. Whereas, we struggle to gain any new listeners because people have heard what we do. And so...
And it's quite repetitive, frankly.
Yeah. They've done something about poo and then got distracted again. Yeah,
lots about sort of verge pissing.
So, yeah, they're doing really well in the overall chart because it's reflecting the fact they're growing massively. And in the individual episode chart that does actual listener numbers, we're still number one. And I'm clinging to that for as long as I bloody can.
But I like Alex. He's a lovely guy. Sweet guy.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, I have. I accidentally bought a car that he ruined around a track. But actually, it's a good car. So I'm not upset about it. Although he is right about the starter motor, I didn't believe him at first. But yeah, it sounds like sort of someone being strangled. It doesn't disengage quickly enough.
Oh no!
It goes
when it like a cat very, being sick.
It's very unsports car-like. I think I need to change the starter motor. Yes.
It's a bit disappointing. We have another question for Britain's number one podcast in the car space.
Oh, I've got the microphone already. So
that's as clear as crystal.
I'm playing the game, really. 2 points. Johnny, there is a TikTok account called Scenic Pissers.
Yes.
And I think you need to jump on it before they get the market share.
He's very cross about
this. I'm cross because I'm such a busy guy with all my other current projects.
They're in America as well, so they've got like big mountains and things.
Bastards.
on a more car-related note, I saw the number plate Bollend the other day.
But seriously?
Oh my God.
Yeah, BO11END. It reminded me that the DVLA removed BE11END from registration, so no one could have the ultimate number plate.
Well, that would have made you look like a wonker.
And that's...
and a cont.
Have either of you guys come across any number plates that either exist and are like that, or any stories of the DVLA taking away number plates like that?
Well, I know the main guy at DVLA number plate valuation, but I'm not going to reveal his details.
But is he Mr. GC44?
He's a rich source of information. I remember years ago when I was first started out in journalism, and I remember seeing a then new BMW Z3. In that really vivid green colour, like toothpaste green.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
What, is it, sorry? What, sorry?
Fiji green. Yeah, it's very sort of like ski jacket green in the late 80s. And it is quite a cool colour. But the number plate basically read pea soup. I remember it. I remember it vividly. And it looked shit hot.
Yeah,
I suspect the car's a solid 800 quid car now. but the plate is probably, I don't know, a solid 20 grand, 30 grand plate.
Yeah.
So, I saw a Range Rover in London near where you used to live, and it just said porn. It's true, I remember it. But the O wasn't an O, it was a 9 with a very bulbous O part and a tiny tail. It looked like a sort of an overdeveloped tadpole, not a 9. You know what I mean?
There used to be a Range Rover in my hometown that had the number plate Classy.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, that's sort of...
Not true. Yes. I'm going to say...
Oxymoron, as my old English teacher used to pronounce it.
Oh, really?
Do you have another question? Or a question, as my old geography teacher used to say for some reason.
Question.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
With the demise of ICE vehicles, the term petrolhead isn't really going to work for very much longer, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Do we know what do you think a collective term for car enthusiasts might become? Please don't say gearhead, because it makes me feel a bit icky.
Does it? Because I was going to say gearhead is the American term, isn't it?
I like motorhead, because...
And they're not using it anymore, so...
No, exactly.
Or are they not? I don't know.
Electric motor?
Motor's sort of generic.
Motorhead.
I hate petrolhead. I've said this before, because I get coined... petrolhead a lot, and I do some corporate work now and again, and they write a script and it always says professional petrolhead.
And
I just go, oh gosh, I'm gonna go and slam my face in a door. and I have to insist on rewriting it, otherwise I'm vomiting it in my own mouth.
Yeah, that's like Jeremy Clarkson will just have motor mouth written on his grave, whether he likes it or not.
Yes,
because some newspaper copywriter will come in and do it anyway.
Motor mouth.
Do you get that? Because my column in Evo used to be called petrolhead.
I get cranker a little bit nowadays. And he gets stroker. Don't know what that's about. Oh, it's about bowling prowess.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a really good question, though.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. This might be a work in progress. We'll
car
figure
fanatic.
Something out. Unless you have a suggestion for us.
No, not really. I was hoping you'd...
You're the ones who are supposed to do this for a living, you pricks.
Car pervert.
We'll get back
with that. Easy. Yeah. Job done. Yeah, there we go. So at least four people agree.
I don't know. The car pervert one is... It's open to misinterpretation, isn't it?
No.
In fact, Well, it is, because my sometime colleague, TV's Jeremy Clarkson, had cottoned on to the fact that you're sometimes known as Car Pervert, and he was making small talk with me a few months ago, and he went, how's your podcast going, Sniff and Pervert?
Did he?
I was like, that's something very different.
Sniff, we are not TV cops, are we? We are not TV cops.
Do we have another question?
Yeah, hi. My answer would be a kilowatt head for that.
Oh, kilowatt head.
What? Yeah, just about what head?
Kilowatt, as in, because obviously it's EV.
Yeah, but what head is just quicker to say if you're in a hurry.
yeah, probably.
And what is still a measure of energy.
That'd be a magazine. I'd be like, what car?
But oh, I see. What head?
Well,
not that head over there. Sorry, go on, yes.
Keep it on theme. It's a bit of an information thing for Johnny because he's missing Miami Spice.
Yes.
Back in the day, it's pure information only, and someone told me this.
Yes, I'm listening.
There is, that's the way it worded it, there's two adult movies out there.
Oh, gosh. Come on. Come on, why direct this at me?
Miami Spice themed, called Miami Spice and Miami Spice 2.
Seriously?
And there's loads of amazing quotes from that. And back in the day...
Quotes? Who's quoting a porn film?
I can't quote them as ladies' person. They're pretty rude. But
can I just ask, out of pure curiosity, are they on Freeview? Like over Christmas?
Well, no, I would obviously watch these in the privacy of your own room.
Yes. Well, I'm in a hotel tonight.
Supposed to on so a bus.
Oh, look, there's a Network Q rally fleece.
Very good friend.
Yes.
That was it, really. I just wanted to inform you of that. That's good.
It's good to know. There was quite a boom, wasn't there, for a while in pornographical films that mimicked, used puns.
Oh, yeah.
Punned on this. Shaving Ryan's Privates was amazing. My favourite one. I've not seen it. I just heard about it.
By the way, it has got the cars as well.
What? Oh, well, I'm watching it. Legit.
Yes.
I did.
When it shows on your hotel bill, you can go and I was watching it for the cars.
Yes. Exactly, that's the excuse for watching it.
For 7 minutes, Mr.
Car
Smith.
Pile driving Miss Daisy was my favourite.
Oh, my God!
It's nothing short of a genius title.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. The umpire strokes black as well. Anyway, next question. These are actual films. Next. Stop it. Enough already.
Richard.
Hi.
If I mention Top Gear together with Stellantis and one of their brands specifically, Peugeot, do you have any comments on the episode that went out?
Do I have any comments on that? I can't say Stellantis
without doing the... appropriate backbeat, please.
Sorry,
everybody.
I've just had a message. Apparently, my Range Rover's in the car park being crushed. I was in that episode, yes. I was very, very drunk because there was wine on the table.
Real wine?
Well, this is a thing. We thought there'd be prop wine, but it turns out they hadn't bothered to buy prop wine. They just bought wine.
It's cheaper than prop wine.
So I was quite drunk, as was James May, actually.
Did you speed drink? Sort of nervous speed drink?
Well, no, because it took forever. I think I've told this story before, but I took forever to set up. Because it was my stupid thing. I went, oh, we should do this boardroom scene, but also it's obviously got to have a view of the Eiffel Tower out the window, like in an American movie, because we're in Paris.
Yeah.
So that's what you do. I saw something, by the way, on the TV the other day, and they did exactly that. Like, that cliche doesn't go away. But the thing is, when you say something like that, the next thing, you're at a posh hotel in Oxfordshire watching them build scaffolding in front of the window so they can drape a green screen to put the Eiffel Tower in post-production. And unfortunately, no one had thought that the table, this boardroom table, was glass. And when glass reflects the green of a green screen, the computer that's dropping the image onto the green puts it on the table as well.
What?
And it looks shit. So if you watch that scene back, there's a lot of stuff on the table to cover the glass so it doesn't reflect green.
Bloody hell, I did
little,
not know that.
Little trade secret. And so we had to sit there while they figured this out for a while, like for about 45 minutes. 45 minutes of real wine. I was thirsty that day. And also, James had just done his wine program, I think, and James was drinking it as well, and he went, "Oh, try that one, it's quite nice." So I did. Took his advice. And then we went, "Oh dear, that bottle's empty. How's that happened?" For some reason, most of the other people around the table weren't drinking. I think because they had to drive, and James and I knew we didn't have to drive the rest of that day, so we could just have a drink. That's all I have to say about that film. I was drunk, and I can't remember anything else about it.
This is prop wine.
Do you have another question?
There's lots.
There's four, lots. Okay, four, go ahead, whoever has the mic.
That Johnny.
Shit!
Have you considered showing your Danish titanium glasses to Gordon Murray and challenging him to make a more lightweight pair?
Do you want to know the truth about my new glasses? I still haven't collected them. They've been they've been calling me relentlessly for about 10 days. Basically, I've paid for them, they're there, and I just can't be asked to go and get them. I mean, I am busy as well.
But then Gordon would approve of that because he'd go, the lightest thing is something that's not there.
True, but I am quite eager to try them, but obviously not that eager. I've got
not that eager to see where you're going.
I'm an idiot. Apparently, this has happened before with real cars. I know I met somebody years ago who worked in a dealership, and somebody bought a car cash outright and never came to come and get it. And they don't know if they died, disappeared, forgot, whatever. Yeah, true.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Bought a car, never came to get it. Yeah. I also know someone that found a car that was owned by a bloke that it was like a proper gang boss, should we say, and he got taken out, he got murdered, but nobody really knew about it, so it was gangland. But this guy knew. Anyway, it's a complicated story. Hey, another question.
I've said too much.
Yeah, I've said. Yeah, it's true though. Yeah, he ended up claiming his car. So, next question.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, there we go.
That was quick. I can't even see where the mic's going.
No, I don't know where the mic is. Sorry, we look a bit vague as we're staring into space.
So, picture the scene. You're two sense-deficient uni students driving a car to Croatia and back next year for £1,000. What are you buying and why?
Ooh, Rover 75, suggesting from the front there. I don't know.
75,
I would, would I endorse that? Feels like you might.
Are you leaving it there or bringing it home?
Depends. If it's something nice, we'll bring it home. If it's a Rover Metro convertible, we'll donate it to Croatia.
You're not getting a Rover Metro convertible for £1,000. They're a collector's item, my friend.
The trouble is since COVID, there's not really many £1,000 usable cars. Really?
No, I mean, they are out there, aren't they?
Hey?
Say what? Yaris, yeah.
PT
Yaris.
Cruiser, that's a good call.
Yeah, I bet that's you could get a PT. I mean, they're... hang away K-11. A minute. I've just remembered, PT Cruiser made by Chrysler. What a great car. You should definitely have one of those. And I'm sure it'll give them years of faithful service if you choose to bring it back, sir. That's quite a good shout, though, because they're not very money.
I like
much money.
I actually, it's a sort of guilty pleasure of mine. I don't mind the PT Cruiser.
And all of the members of your team, change your name to PT Cruiser before you go, and then you can be the PT Cruiser.
I pity the Cruiser.
Pity Cruiser. That's quite good. It's getting I and a Y in there. Even though it's an excellent car, of course, and I heartily endorse it.
Yes. I think the bonus with the PT Cruiser as well is because you'd be inside it, you wouldn't be looking at it.
Hey, it doesn't. There are much worse cars out there, but you all have to dress as like Californian men of a certain age with sort of like old guys rule t-shirts and flip flops.
Yeah.
And those shorts which are nearly trousers, but they're not quite trousers anymore. Those ones.
It sounds like you're describing Blink 182.
Yes, well, they love a charity road trip to Croatia as much as the next guy.
I love all the small things.
Oh, try that.
PT Cruiser, I think, is a really good suggestion.
A good one. And a Yaris, someone said Yaris.
Well, Yaris, if you want to get there and back, I would say, is probably quite a good shout, even though, of course, Toyota are bastards and you should definitely buy a Citroen.
You've got to keep them sweet. They're
I
get it.
Has anyone else got a question?
No. So there are driving gloves and driving shoes.
Of course.
Do either of you have any other specific items of driving clothing?
God, that's a good question.
Such as, for example, certain pairs of pants that you choose if you know you're going to have to sit for hours on a motorway and arrive with non-matched spuds.
Well, I found a pair of undercrackers that I really liked a couple of years ago, and I threw all my other ones away and just bought 12 of the same one.
Oh, I thought you were going to say just wore those.
No, yeah. So what I just said, but I bought a pair of those, and that's what I wear all the time.
I did pretty much the same as well. Yeah. Middle-aged men are fascinating, aren't we?
It's just the way I roll.
I used to have lucky pants.
Did you?
Yeah. I had lucky pants. It's funny because I was discussing this once. Well, just like not dying in a plane crash and shit like that. I was discussing this once with a mate and I went, I've got lucky pants. He went, I've got lucky pants as well. Always wear them on one on the pool. And I went, oh, I wear them when I'm going on a plane so it doesn't crash. And I realised we were coming at things from very different angles. But and I always used to wear them on Top Gear Studio Day on a Wednesday every week when we were making that show. Because I believed that it would make the recording go smoothly.
Didn't you have you down as one of those
Well,
guys?
You know how superstitious I am about shit. So it's like, it is just one of those things. I don't have lucky pants anymore. I've weaned myself off that because the lucky pants became rather threadbare.
Threadbare, that's just what I had to say.
And that felt like their luck ran out. So, but unlike our old series producer, Andy Willman, who also wore lucky pants on Studio Day, and his lucky pants became so threadbare, he had to get his wife to stitch them onto a surrogate pair of other pants.
No way!
To maintain their structural integrity.
No way. Did you do a floor pan swap?
Yeah,
on pants? Yeah. He did, seriously?
So yeah, there would have been a time when if I was, I don't know, you know, going on a big road trip or on a track day or something, I might have worn my lucky pants to make sure I didn't crash.
I think the only thing that's anywhere near that, my daughter was really ill when she was very young. So I used to wear one of her headbands, like a, you know, little hair squeegee thing. I don't know what you call them. Thing. No, for ponytails. Like that. I used to wear it as like a... I just used to put it on my wrist when I was doing her hair, and then I'd leave it on there, and I'd realise I'd turn up for work and I'd still have one on my arm. So I just used to wear one on my arm for about 3 years. And then I realised it looked like a sort of gap year bracelet, and I thought, this has to stop. And just park that idea, basically. I never did a gap year. I didn't have fucking time.
Well, you've got to make the time.
I was too busy trying to get a career.
Aye.
So yeah. It's a shame. I'll do it when I'm about 50. Just go wild. In a PT Cruiser.
Yeah.
With some of those shorts on.
And then have so many beads you won't be able to bend your elbow.
I'll get an ear hole or something.
Get an ear tunnel.
Yeah.
Next question. Where's the microphone going? We can't really see.
I love
the
questions because
right
we just
here,
never know what we're going to get.
Never know where it's going to go.
Right.
Oh, gosh. If it starts with right.
Yeah.
Actual car question.
Oh, God.
Right. You've got to choose the most impractical daily driver. And bearing in mind, one of you lives near London.
Right.
And you've got a Range Rover, so that's probably fairly hard to park. Yeah.
We know he's driven here tonight in one of those vehicles you're talking about. Yeah.
Car parking's bigger here, though, isn't it?
A supercharged petrol Range Rover in 2023.
It's working.
You've got to choose between a Hummer H2, which is massive and impractical to park, or a Group B rally car with a full 5-point harness, bucket seats, door bars, full roll cage.
Unforgiving clutch.
And a very unforgiving clutch.
I'm still going Group B. Which one? Am I allowed to choose?
I think Metro 6R4.
Oh, thank you. I'll have it.
Yeah.
I've never driven a 6R4. You have, haven't you?
Yeah, quite short.
Quite jealous. Yeah, I've driven an RS200.
Yeah.
And
it's very exciting.
If you have even that much lock on and you try to pull out of a junction, it stalls.
Yeah.
And if you have no lock on and you try to pull out of a junction, it stalls. It's just a stalling machine with a rally car attached.
Yeah.
But when you get it going, it's fucking brilliant.
By Jove.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that the one? No, it wasn't that. It was when they had that bloody... I was going to say, I don't do a lot of track work. Not used to wearing 5-point harnesses. And I've learned the hard way that one of the things about a 5-point harness is, before you put it on, remember to close the door.
Oh, gosh. It's true. I've done that numerous times.
Have
or
you
just the mirror.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake, I'll just drive it with no mirror. Yeah. I've done that a few times.
Did you also, when you forget to close the door?
Yeah,
because often it's very hot.
I've done a hot pull-away to try and shut the door. Yeah, because they're made out of like crisp packets.
You forget there's a low wall in front of you.
Jump it into the wall.
Yeah, I'm going to daily the 6R4 and see how that goes.
What it has over the Hummer, aside from the fact it looks cool, is the fact that you can do a really easy sort of donut. So although the lock isn't very good on those sorts of race cars, you can sort of flick them, which makes you look like a bit of a tart, but at the same time, it gets the job done when you need to. So
what, in the middle of Stamford High Street?
Yeah, just so. Yeah, good for track work as well. Good question, though.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Sweet, sweet question.
We should start giving away stuff for questions.
Now. Who wants a Stellantis bum bag?
Or we could just throw them into the crowd like we're at a gig. I don't know.
There was a couple of them. I'm trying to think.
Maybe we should auction them for charity or something. That would be a nice thing to do, wouldn't it?
Right, seriously, who wants this? Put your hand up now. That one there.
That's like
that person there. Yeah, you
test.
You waving. Come up. I'm not throwing it that far in case it hits someone in the face.
While you're coming up, could we maybe have the next question queued up?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, he's going to come up for a full presentation.
This is great. We've got a tracking shot and everything. I was going to give
away
a club.
As I said before, not an official,
with every,
not an official licensed product of Stellantis.
No warranty.
Made at home by someone.
Okay, next question.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
What is the best feature that you've discovered on a second-hand car that you've bought that you didn't realise it was going to come with?
That's a really good question.
Was it your car or your mate's car that had all that stuff under the back seat?
Oh, that was my car that I found that I wanted to buy, but I was at VMAX with cars, so I made him. Well, he became a PR of Rolls-Royce.
So he bought, Matt, yes,
bought Mercedes 500 SEL when they won W126 when they were very cheap. I've told this story numerous times. And he took it home. It was about 400 quid with an MOT. Drove it home. It drove well, but it stank. He cleaned it all out that weekend. He said, in his words, I bought it off a skinhead neo-Nazi. And I went, okay, interesting. And he cleaned it, and then days later, it just still reeked. So he's like, this is ridiculous. Something's happened in this car. I don't know what. Rooted around, trying to sort of detail it, lifted the back seat up, a full Tesco bag full of actual shit with a fridge magnet on the top with Dale Winton's face on it. That's not a made-up story. Yeah, it was a 400 quid, 500 SEL.
That's so disrespectful.
An awful lot of feces under the seat. But why? Nobody knows why. That's the thing.
Do you think the person responsible had eaten the Dale Winton fridge magnet?
To this day, I don't know. I don't know the reasons. I don't know the reasons.
I'm going to say we'll never know.
No. Tell that Will Ferrell line from Blades of Glory. What does it mean? Nobody knows what it means, but it's provocative.
I can't top that. I don't. I'm trying to think of some. I mean, I...
Features.
No. There was not. It's not a second-hand car that I've bought, or indeed anyone's bought, but a friend of mine is a director, was shooting a TV show where they needed a load of decent-looking scrap cars to decorate a street scene where they might get bashed up. And one of the safety crew was just checking that all the cars were okay, opened the boot of one of these cars that had come from a scrapyard, and it was absolutely crammed full of cocaine.
What?
And they'd be like, no, this is unusual. So they rang the police. I mean, it was a seriously like proper kind of make the news quantity of cocaine. So they rang the police, and the police came out and took it away. And it turned out this had been an abandoned car that was being used as a stash by a local drug gang.
Amazing.
And the car had been yanked away by the council and then sent to the scrapyard with all of their gear in the boot.
And wow.
So that's an unusual feature that you won't find in every second-hand car.
Yeah, I'd say that's unusual. Yeah, there have been some other ones. I found, you know, when you can dim down the dash binnacle lights, but I had a car where it was really, really dim, and I looked for months, and I was like, clearly it's got a shit dash binnacle, or my eyes are broken, one of the two. And then, like, ages later, I found where it was, and it was hidden, like, on another... I think it was, like, with the odometer that you press in to reset
the
trip.
Oh, yeah, was it a VW?
I might have, and you turn it, and it was like, oh, so it does two things. God, that's amazing.
What did I... Because I had a car like
I was like... it's like the guy from Father Ted, you know, the thick one.
Dougal,
it was like that. I was really excited just for a second.
Yeah, I had a car like that. I can't remember what it was. Anyway.
Yeah.
Not so interesting.
Not as good as a Del Winton fridge magnet in a bag of shit.
Del Winton came to see us at Top Gear once. Have I told this story before? Probably. We're running out of stories. Well, but yeah, he came down. He was filming a show, one of those Make-A-Wish shows, and the kid wanted to come and see Top Gear being filmed in the studio.
Oh, that's me.
And Del Winton came down early, and he turns out to be a big car guy, or he was. God rest
him. He's dead, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And the thing that we hadn't realised about how much of a car guy Del Winton was, that he was walking through the parking area outside the studio with our producer, and he looked across where we got some press cars parked up, and he went, "Oh, is that the new facelifted Citroen C5?
What?
Yeah, dead straight. Del Winton, car nerd.
Car dude, brilliant.
Do we have another question?
Hello.
Oh,
that was quick.
Following that story, when the BBC come and call you next year for hosting Top Gear, you're going to need a third presenter, and then what's going to be your first road trip, and what cars are you taking?
Amazingly, I'm busy next year. Would you do that gig?
I would do it if it wasn't three people and it wasn't called Top Gear.
And also it was about dogs.
No, he didn't. It has to be about model villages specifically for me to be interested in. But I think where would be the first road trip? I would desperately like to take him, and this is this is an aspiration for a video on Smith and Sniff at some point in the future. I would like to take him to a lock-in at a model village.
Why does it have to be a lock-in?
Because then you get to see the back rooms, the maintenance team. You can take booze in. I've just made that bit up. But I'll book an Airbnb nearby, so we'll get a bit of a, like, it'll be a bit of a drink.
So you're suggesting I drink half a bottle of scotch and then just rampage around the place going, "I'm a giant!"
Yes. Like a sort of, like, shit, right. Gulliver's Travels. Yes. That's what's going to happen. But we'll drive there in a sort of a fairly average car, and we'll drive back in a fairly average car.
So this is why this isn't happening.
Yeah.
Because our ideas are terrible. Or at least too strange. I don't think Top Gear's coming back next year. Also, it's the honest truth of it. I think they've got to leave it a little bit longer.
They'll put it in the proving drawer, and Paul Hollywood will pull it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not dust off his flowery hands.
Oh, yeah. The cuffs will be up.
Yeah.
Slow motion flower slapping.
I don't know. The other problem is thinking of what you'd like to do as a road trip.
It's not a thing.
But also, you say flower slapping without the context, it looks like you've gone up to a load of those big daisies and gone,
fuck you, fuck pansies. You. Yeah.
Extreme gardening. Now, there's a show I'd rather present.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
Just about people who don't know anything about gardening having a really good go at it.
Well, like me.
We're back, and everything's dead.
No, I still maintain from many podcasts ago, Kevin MacLeod's Granada designs. I still think it's been amazing. Well-off couple. They've bought a Scorpio. They don't like the way it looks. But see, this is fucking... This is TV genius. They don't like the way it looks. They've got an awful lot of money to plough into it. They want to do something quite radical, but tasteful. Kevin, come back in a year. Let's see what happens.
In a year?
Yeah.
He'd come back in a few times in between that going, this isn't going to work out. Oh, look, she's pregnant. Still not going to work out. Yeah. It's going, as per the accepted grand designs.
We put a tow bar on it. It's got a trailer tent when they come back. So that'll be fine. Doesn't matter how many children they've got. Yeah, but Granada Designs by Kevin MacLeod. I think that's going to be fantastic. Can't wait to watch that.
Cardening, yeah.
Yeah, see, that could work. That could actually work.
Yeah.
Well, we'll just leave that there.
There we go. Are there any BBC commissioning editors in the room?
Yeah. Does anyone work for Amazon or Netflix or any of those big guns? No.
All righty. Do we have another question?
You've been a really good crowd, you know, tonight. It's been lovely. Thanks. Thanks for coming. Just thought I'd say.
Yeah. You've been so good. Would anyone like a Russian copy of Evo magazine that I want to get rid of? I've got down here.
Do anyone want a club? And if they do.
I'll tell you what, no, the clubs come with anything we give away. Here. Look, I tell you
do
what.
You want a salty one? Not like that. Who wants an orange club? Yeah, you're straight in there. There you go. Who wants a mint one? Straight in there.
Oh.
I'll give out the others in a minute. I'm worried about hitting heads. I've got some of these as well.
No, careful, don't open them because they'll
Can
be
I
all.
Just, the... I just say the words, all the words on the tin. Finest, all natural, and the original travel
for the tape,
sweets.
Johnny is looking at some travel sweets and not just describing something randomly because.
So some of this is in italics and some of this is in caps. Finest italics, all natural caps, and the original travel sweets in italics. Mixed fruit drops caps.
Oh, God.
Yeah, proudly made in Great Britain by A.L. Simkin and Sons off of Sheffield. There we go. Amazing. So
good.
A huge mix of
we'll
italics
open those
and,
later.
And caps there.
Don't open them now because you'll have a Paul Hollywood style dusty hands. Don't do it.
Paul Hollywood's cocaine hands. Yeah. honestly, I'm baking. Yeah.
He could take over from Ross Kemp. Ross Kemp does gangs, but Paul Hollywood could do that thing where he goes with, you know, he goes and infiltrates the hardest gangs in the world, but then he just gets their coke stash and goes.
Oh, fine. Amazing.
Dusts it everywhere.
Oh, amazing.
His final piece to camera, he's always talking incredibly quickly.
We're going to make some Chelsea buns, yeah. Okay, right, let's just get a load of this. Great. Yeah, come on, boys, come on, let's do this.
Before we get sued for libel or slander, I always get this mixed up. Anyway, do we have a question?
Hello.
Hello. Where's that coming from?
I was introducing some friends to some of the videos on the Smith & Sniff channel.
Oh, don't do that.
Years ago.
Some friend you are.
He's not a very good friend.
Fair enough.
I was just wondering what your idea of peak old money car or peak rare but nobody cares would be.
Okay. Well, I saw, do you remember I sent it to you on WhatsApp? I saw a Perodua Calisa on Auto Trader.
Oh, yes. Did we discuss this?
I can't remember if we did.
I always
or
get
not.
Real life mixed up with
yes,
the podcast.
Yes, so do I. So. And it was a one owner car with something like 16,000 miles on it. Every panel was damaged. I think it was champagne metallic.
Yeah, a lot of panel damage.
So it did look a bit grim, but the mileage and the one ownerness, and also it did say deceased in the title. And I thought, hey, it's probably quite a rare car now. Genuinely, nobody gives a flying shit. But I thought I nearly bought it. It was just a bit too far away and I was busy. But I would have liked to have bought it, actually. So I'd say that's fairly rare and nobody cares.
Old money.
I mean, you're good at old money. You've got a good old
money.
Well,
it's very easy just to, and I think it's still default to a least two generations old Subaru Legacy Estate.
Yeah.
Stinks of Labradors.
Yeah.
But quite well capped.
Well, full service history.
From a main agent, yeah.
The main agent can basically just write out a telephone number on an invoice and they won't even clean it and they'll go, yeah, no problem.
Yeah,
that's a £16,000 service. Yeah, that's fine
no
to
problem.
Me. It's fine.
Car, certainly not going to buy a new car.
Car's worth £1,800. I'm down with that. That's absolutely fine.
I was in a village in North Norfolk a couple of years ago and I walked past, I was walking with the dog with us, I was taking the dog for an early morning walk, walked past a very big house in Norfolk, which I think sometimes might be Britain's poshest county.
Really?
It's quite posh. I mean, I know it's also got, you know, sort of simpletons in it. Second, what do you think? But I think there's a lot of people who sort of own most of Norfolk that Prince Charles hasn't got, and they, you know, they do live there. And certainly this chap I saw coming out of this house, he was ruddy of trouser and tweed of jacket. And he was getting into an old shape Volvo V40.
Oh, yeah.
And I just thought,
A Volvo 850 is quite old money.
Yeah.
Like a late one.
But I think the V40, just the modesty of it as well.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's not even a big car because we don't need a big car these days. Now the children have all gone to London.
It's
leafy fucking London. He might say when he's had a couple of gins.
It's old money.
Old.
How do you spell that?
Old. E-U... E-A-U-L-D.
Ild. It sounds like ill.
Ild. Ild. We told you that thing where we started going, ears. And then I read Olivia Colman being interviewed, and she said when she did The Crine, the TV show The Crine, she was told to say yes in an authentic way. Just say ears.
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 Would you like another gin, Your Majesty? Ears.
It's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there we go. Does that answer your question?
I think we did actually answer the question before we somehow drifted off into a ditch.
10 minutes later.
Do we have another question? Oh, this man keeps putting his hand up and we don't keep answering it, so I'm going to give him a copy of Evo in Russian instead to say, there you go. Just to say sorry. There we go.
Give him a club. Give him a club as well.
Oh, and a salted caramel club as well. There you go.
It's a salted caramel. If you're not down with that, we have got mint and the other flavours too.
Yeah. Next question, please.
Hi, chaps.
Yes.
I'm just wondering, do either of you have any hands-on experience of a Coventry climax?
It's the best engine name ever, isn't it? It really is. It really is. It's a bucket list car for me, the Hillman Imp, because it was my dad's first car, and I do keep sort of hawking around them occasionally, going, I would like one, and I know.
For context, people are aware the Hillman Imp has a Coventry Climax engine, right?
Yes.
It doesn't sound like Johnny's just decided to ignore the question.
And also, let it be known that you can really make the Climax quite hot for hill climbs, etc., yeah, etc. So, I mean,
sometimes it's good to, you know, because I remember that it's a very revy car, because I have driven an Imp and a Stiletto.
Cool.
Lovely.
Sweet.
But you really have to rev them.
Yes.
So you're kind of delaying your Climax a little bit, but by just thinking about the offside rule and stuff. You've got the microphone now, I want the Russian Evo. No, fine. You can have it.
You're starting to talk about edging, so I think you should ask the question. Okay.
All right, let's move on.
Can I say Happy New Year?
No, in Russian, please.
Yes. That's all I know.
Happy New Year. Well, Happy New Year
happy
to
New
you.
Year,
and everyone
because this
here
is definitely New Year's Day, yes.
Because you had it every night, you guys.
I had a fantastic New Year, thank you.
Thank you. So my question is, after all this time waiting, hope it's not an anti-climax.
That's good.
Someone that hates imps. Imp hater. Anti-climax.
He's impartial. Sorry.
Who would you guys put your actual money on to get the fastest lap around Silverstone driving a Rover SD1 V8, a certain Perry McCarthy in a black race suit, or a certain Ben Collins in a white race suit, or, looking to Johnny, a certain Mr. Tiffany Dell in his finest, thinnest leather blues on from Italy? Who would do the fastest lap?
It'd be Timothy Needle.
Yeah.
100%.
I'm going to say Tiff as well, just to annoy Perry and Ben. Yeah.
I thought you said perineum at first. And then I thought, I'm not perineum familiar
McCarthy
with that guy. Yes, perineum. Yeah.
I mean, he does talk a bit of blast sometimes, but I'd say, I mean, Tiff would be in with a shout for sure, because
his car control is sublime.
Car control superb, yeah.
But also the Superleggera jacket.
They'd be in their heavy Nomex.
And yeah, they would. And he'd also just laugh.
And he'd have consumed no food or liquids day. So he is really lightweight.
Maybe a thimble of tea just before. Yeah. Afterwards, lots to eat. But when the job's done.
Yeah.
The job has to be done first. Honestly, I wish I could get everyone to have a passenger ride with Timothy Needle.
But you can, can't you, if you go to Thruxton?
Yeah.
Yeah? Done it?
Yeah, really? He is nuts. It
does
is immense.
Does the car point in a straight line at any point?
No, it's full side window breathing going on.
Yeah,
definitely. Definitely. He is incredibly talented. It was his birthday. He's a November birthday person.
97 years old and still absolutely sharp as a tack.
Yeah, he's still really good.
Yeah.
He's still really good. Yeah.
Tiff?
He comes top of the JD Power Survey every year.
What, for build quality?
It's the Jack Daniels Power Survey. Other whiskies are available, apparently.
Yeah.
No, he's a good lad. And that's a good question.
Next question? Or is there anyone who hasn't had a chance to ask a question and would like a June 1989 copy of Car Magazine?
Tracksuit guy. You've got to give away this stuff.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy it. Don't read it all at once, particularly the bit about the Citroen XM.
If someone wants a Club Biscuit Mint, I'll give three away to the first person that shouts folds. There was someone just down there. Come and get your three pack. Three? Three.
You're eating into our reserves here.
I'll tell you what, do you know what? I'll give him one salted one.
Okay, yeah.
Stand up on stage and show the world. those bastards.
For the tape,
a gentleman
who got Johnny's shoes.
They fit perfectly.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. They are the lattice toed helmsman shoe.
The driving moccasin.
Are you driving home in them tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm
better than
I'm
ever.
I'm going to go to work for them in tomorrow.
Please tell me you work in Timpsons.
Oh, okay. They're amazing. They're amazing. They're amazing. The pedal box hero in those. Oh, amazing.
Where are we up to with... Oh, we've got time left. Another question, please.
This one's for Johnny. Cast your mind back to your Max Power days.
Oh, gosh.
What was the most outlandish modification you saw, and what was it on? And what would you do to get the element on the front cover?
People used to do the craziest things. One guy phoned up and he said, I'm 21, I just bought a Citroen Saxo VTS on finance, which was pretty common then, which is why that car's become quite sort of iconic. And he said, I'm going to borrow £25,000.
What?
This was 2002, so yeah, over 20 years
Bloody
ago.
Hell.
And he said, I will do whatever you think it will take with that money to make the cover of Max Power. Genuinely, he was just waiting for us to just say whatever that was. And I had no bloody idea.
Did you
and I was
stitch
also
him
terrified,
up?
Frankly. I just thought, I can't. Too much weight of responsibility.
Stretch it by about 8 feet. Cabrio.
Oh, gosh.
Do you remember that sort of peach colour they used to do polos in? I think it was called apricot. Does anyone remember this?
Yes.
That colour.
Yeah.
Or Harlequin. What about a Saxo Cabrio Limo Harlequin?
Well, somebody...
And then you could put it on the cover with the caption. The cover line would be, look at this dick. It's not quite the effect he was going for, but he's got his cover, so...
Somebody upholstered, somebody externally trimmed a car that made the cover of Max Power, I'm sure. So the whole interior was fiberglass, incredible massive speakers. So the fiberglass door... bins were huge, 12-inch subs in each door. I mean, it was bonkers. But they trimmed the outside of it just for shits and giggles. And that car still exists because I saw it last year. It got taken to the Hot Wheels Legends Tour event and it had been squirreled away for years because it was worthless. And, I love the whole custom car world, but it is a very personal thing, isn't it? It's the absolute opposite of someone buying a car to hedge their bets on it being an investment. It's a total... crazy, selfish kind of artistic expression. And I kind of like that. It's ballsy. And we've lost a bit of that. And I'm glad I was around for that era, although there was a lot of sort of hashtag me too, I should think, going on around that time, which we won't talk about. We'll just stick with the cars. So, yeah, so an externally upholstered car, I did see that, and that was pretty damn mad. Oh, we also saw one where the tailgate came off on a telescopic ram away from the car by about 8 feet, and it could revolve completely 360 revolve, and it had a full PA system, so you could run. Basically, I mean, Stellantis should do this because it's a full. In the middle of a car park, the sound system was big enough to like be heard by a thousand or more thousands of people.
Renault Clio. Do you remember?
You remember
that car?
It? Wow. It was. It was not yours, is it? No,
no.
But I remember it.
No,
just
the owner of that
mad.
Car is now emeritus professor of philosophy.
Yeah, and it was like, I mean, the amount of artistic expression that went on then was amazing. It wasn't the sort of car you'd want to own, but I was pleased to see it. It was amazing.
Do a couple more questions, and then we should probably wrap this up.
Anyone for another question?
Or has everyone had enough?
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Hello.
So it's me again. Just a random fact, because I know what you're talking about upholstering, that is known to the club I'm in, I've got Chrysler Alpine. There's a Talbot Alpine somewhere out there that's had the interior converted to leather, from velour to leather.
Yeah, it's me.
That's a terrible move.
It's mine, I've got it.
The car is worthless.
Yes.
That's downgraded the value of the car because it's done that.
I mean...
So
we're not talking about
the
Bugatti Royale, though, so it's sort of a relative thing, isn't it?
So what is the worst interior mock-up you've seen? Now, obviously, you've said the one there. Have you got any other different ones?
The worst interior?
Yeah.
Factory or...
Oh, no, obviously, ones out. I know one guy who for some weird reason, was an electrician, and he fitted multiple DVD players into the dash.
Multiple?
With screens. And the guy spent that was thousands.
He had what? So he had a screen per DVD player?
Yeah, and it was like a Peugeot.
Was he a blue bottle?
No, it was a. I think it was a Peugeot 306.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I remember that when Fast and Furious came out, people just. In the modified car world, people just went mad with screens. Screens were just kudos. So you'd put screens in the boot, in the hatchback, inside the boot itself, in all the door pods.
What?
And they'd leave all these open God. At a car show, and there'd be different films playing.
Oh, Shaving Ryan's Private.
Not well. I'm not saying.
Pile driving mistakes.
Not bad. Honestly.
Excuse me, do you remember the car in... Cannonball Run, the Japanese car with all the...
Yes. Was that a Mitsubishi? Mitsubishi Stereo, wasn't it? Yeah.
There's a retro thing.
I don't know.
Do you remember, this is a sort of factory car, but a one-off that at the Geneva Motor Show, I think it might have been, Rover fetched up with a 200 or maybe a 25. The interior had been redone by a fashion designer. I think it was Matthew Williamson. And it was bloody awful.
Was it?
Yeah. It was. There's probably pictures of it online still, but I think they'd spent quite a bit of money having it retrimmed, and it was not
what,
good.
What was the BMW concept car that was covered in fabric and it could stretch and
the
change?
The Gina.
Yeah, I mean, that was a bit sketchy.
It was quite good. You know, they seriously considered that for trying to get it in production.
Really?
Well, they gave it some proper thought. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, now it would be tasteful looking compared to, say, the BMW, insert name of a lot of BMWs here.
All right. One more question before we wind this up.
Or just to carry on with Rover. Do you think that...
Look, we're going to get thrown out. If we keep
something they don't exist, they're not a threat. They're not a threat.
Working for Stellantis' DJ competitor, JLR, do you think that there's a... a market for a Rover EV reimagined based on XF, XE parts in the way that Renault have brought Dacia to the forefront? Or do you think that Rover should be left in the past?
That's actually a really good question.
I asked someone from JLR years ago about bringing back Rover, and they went, there's lots of reasons why we wouldn't. And one of them is that it would just cost a fortune to do all the branding, do the showrooms, all the marketing to re-establish the company, remind people it's here, even though we've heard of it, you'd have to sort of reposition it. But since you don't have to sell cars through showrooms anymore, I wonder if that would be a tiny bit cheaper, not a lot cheaper, but I wonder whether what the point of it would be. Because they've got enough on their plate trying to get Jaguar relaunched whenever that's happening. I'm sure you can tell us now if you put the microphone to your mouth.
Soon.
Oh, you heard it here first.
I would really like Rover to relaunch so that young rappers who have forgotten what Rovers are just start talking street nonsense about the sensible three-box saloons.
What was that? It was the Chainsmokers, wasn't it, that did that?
Yeah.
In the backseat of my Rover.
Which obviously
I always imagined it was a 214.
I was thinking
SI.
600. I was going to go 620.
But I think, so you know what, weirdly, I don't mind people in the US Rovers. Calling Range Rovers Rovers. I find less annoying than people here calling them Ranges. That's a cooker. Because here's some people, it just not Rangy. I mean, Rangy, it's all
Bruce
right.
Hornsby and
Bruce Hornsby and the Range Rover.
Yeah. That's it.
And
it's
his
a mobile
song
recording
is
studio.
It's fucking leaking oil again.
Yes.
which mine isn't, by the way.
Or the ECU shat itself.
I'll show you a picture afterwards of someone we know in his Range Rover.
Oh,
he described it as coked up, and not in the sense that it might have been when it was new.
Not Paul Hollywood's hands.
Stop saying that. Okay, we'll get sued. Right. Well,
Paul
look.
Paul Hollywood on gangs.
Yes, that's like why that. He would be in proximity to cocaine because he's doing Ross Kemp's job, busting open drug gangs and then cooking them all some scones. While they're in handcuffs to torture them. Oh, that smells delicious. Well, you can't have any because you're going to prison.
Yeah. You bastard.
Right. Well, we should probably wrap this up because Stellantis want us to get the hell out of their premises. So that's what we're going to do.
But thanks for having us, Stellantis.
Thanks for having us.
Can we give Stellantis a round of applause?
Yes. Thank you. The whole Stellantis team who've made us feel very welcome here.
Can't help it. Can't. I need to do it.
It's amazing it isn't just from the next room, it's just the constant backbeat through the wall.
Yeah, there's an after party, but If everyone keep their pages open for when they're walking out afterwards, we'll find out where it is.
Or if you can work out which pub we're staying in, you're welcome to come to that.
Just follow the Talbot Samba as it leaves the car park.
Yeah. But watch out, it's the Trio Special Edition. I'll be lighting it up. Okay, before we go, I have three things to tell you. They are, one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. It's called the Mislabeled Crates of Steak and Cake Show. In which Johnny is forced to do deliveries around the country in a curtain-sided Vauxhall Movano. But due to poor management at the warehouse, he has no idea whether he's delivering meat or sweet treats. This week, he's outside
meat or sweet treats?
Outside a vegetarian cafe in Preston while the owner shouts, "What the fuck? There's blood coming out of this," at him. If that's not to your taste, there's always the Late Break Show. Lots of excellent videos on there.
I don't know what's coming.
No, well, you won't, because it's New Year's Day and you can't remember because you were out partying.
But loads of great stuff. You've probably not watched all the previous 4 years' worth, so... Go watch some of those,
Are you calling our audience ungrateful?
No. I'm just sort of putting it out there.
Second thing I have to tell you is that I have a new book out. It's called Boring Car Trail. I know, I should have mentioned it before, but I didn't. What an idiot.
Fair.
Anyway, hopefully some of you got it for Christmas, which of course is in the past now because it's New Year's Day. And if not, well, use your Smith's vouchers that you got for Christmas to buy it, even though it's not available in Smith's. But it is on Amazon as an ebook or a paperback from our merch shop, where you can also buy our new hats.
Yeah, for your head.
I've modified our merchandise song at the end of this podcast to reflect that, so not catching me out there.
Also fleece-lined.
Fleece-lined, they're nice hats.
Quality.
They are nice hats.
They were road-tested by someone with male pattern baldness. So you know they're really kin good.
And the third thing I've got to tell you, this is one for you, Johnny.
Is it?
Do you remember that Nescafe advert with that sad lady and a beetle? Oh, thank God someone does. I was a bit worried about this.
Sadly, you
remember she drove up onto a sort of cliff top and it was I can see clearly now the rain has gone.
Oh yes.
And she put a little heating element out of the fag lighter and made herself a cup of Nescafe, and then she was less sad.
Less sad. I like being less sad.
Now,
yeah.
Let me ask you this. What? Do you remember the very last episode of The Office?
I never watched it.
Really? Oh, for fuck's sake. Does anyone here remember the last episode of The Office?
Everyone will have watched Office.
Brilliant bit of TV. And you remember one of the great bits of it was that David Brent finally told Finchie to fuck off, because David turned up at the Christmas party with this quite normal, attractive woman that was his date. The quite normal, nice, attractive woman who was his date was also the sad woman in The Beatle.
Oh.
True fact.
That's a good fact for Office
fans. That might be the most obscure piece of nonsense I've ever done in that bit. Anyway, I found that out last night, and I thought I'm going to share
that's,
that.
That's for your next book, Boring Trivia.
Just Boring Trivia. Just cut the car bit out.
No, there
just,
is some
just,
cars.
Yeah, that's true.
I always prefer Peter Kay's Phoenix Knights far better. Okay. It's true, isn't it?
Well.
It stands better.
On that controversial take, it's time to end. thank you ever so much for listening at home. Thank you to everyone in the room for coming along. We do really appreciate it.
Yeah, we do.
We're also slightly mind-boggled by the fact that you would give up your evening to listen to this.
It's
too late now, so thanks for that. Yeah. And we will do this again soon. Until then, goodbye. Yeah.
Thanks then. Cheers, mate. Mugs, t-shirts, stickers. Mugs, t-shirts, stickers. Mugs, t-shirts, stickers. And now we do hats too. They're very stylish. This may come as a surprise, but Smith and Sniff have merchandise. You won't believe your eyes. Smith and Sniff have merchandise. Sadly, we don't do pies, but Smith and Sniff have merchandise. One day we might sell ties. Smith and Sniff have merchandise.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.